episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Donate link.
And he's back again. There you go. Fantastic. Susie, is that your dog? Have you really got a dog like Rollo's as well?
I would like to say.
Yes, you have.
That I did.
Oh, no. Don't tell me the chipmunks killed it.
No. No. It's been 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Worst day of my life, even though I've had a lot of worst days of my life. So, yeah. My little King Charles, man, he's the best.
Well, Rollo's got Rosie, and I know Rosie well.
Yeah, and it's going to be the worst day of his life. And I watched this little Chihuahua, who's a really cute, long-haired Chihuahua. When he goes, it's going to be the next worst day of my life. So the whole dog thing is, and you get it with the cat thing and the pet thing.
I just keep rescuing them so I never run out.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of, I think, the thing I think we should all be doing, or at least me. I get what you mean. Keep going. And that way you don't have that one that's so special. If you have 15, then what are you going to do? That one goes, this one goes. You know?
Yeah.
Resma, Jeff, what are you rescuing? Like, what's your, what are your animals?
What are you doing? Most recent one.
Chickens, rabbits, dogs, cats?
Dogs. The most recent one is like, I picked up she's probably about less than a year old, Belgian Malinois. And she's big now. I've had her for about 6 months now. She's growing a lot. But somebody just dumped her out there and out in the country. And I don't know why. Ooh. It was a really expensive, like, nice dog. She was in good shape. She wasn't starved or anything or dirty. I don't know what happened. She's a really nice dog, but she's part of the pack now, so she lives here.
I love it, the pack. Do you watch Dog Whisperer?
I've seen it.
Oh,
yeah, I've seen it.
I'm dedicated. But also, you need to invest in, but look for vacuum cleaner sales. Once you get that shepherd Malinois type long-haired shit, you got tumbleweed going through your house all day long. So you're going to have to.
The others are short-haired. They're pit bulls, so they don't have a ton of hair. They got some, though. So.
I mean, they're furry, but they don't create that crazy tumbleweed long-haired shit. Yeah. I had a German Shepherd with my King Charles for 13 years. And yeah, it was a lot of hair. Like, I had to vacuum 2 or 3 times a week.
Well, when you've got a job as a cleaner and you got to go to people's houses and they've got pets, I'm going to tell you the worst of the lot is Labradors for fur. Female Rottweilers as well, I've noticed. I've got an incredible amount of fur that come off them.
Female, like, Rottweilers.
Yeah, maybe that's males weird as well. But I've seen a female. I like Rottweilers. I actually like that dog.
I like them with a tail.
It's a bit cruel.
They're my favorite Rottweilers. I love them. I love that little golden thing they have over their eyebrows. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
The little golden patch. I love Rottweilers. Sorry. I'm a dog lady. get off the subject or I'll talk about dogs for 8 hours.
Why not? You know, I like dogs as well. I've never owned one, but I've been looked after an awful lot of dogs. And I find them a fascinating creature. Fascinating creature. Even though they don't like cats, which is a bit of a problem in my case.
Well, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. You never know.
Yeah, you know, some I mean, I've seen German Shepherds like
cats. They're just like sometimes just animals just get along. And I think it's really about the human and the energy in the house.
That could be true.
I don't really think it's about the animal. I think it's just something you can make the animals get along with your own energy and just all that shit.
I don't know.
Good vibe. Good vibes.
My little female pet she does not like cats, and she's a little tiny. Well, I don't have any cats, but there's a lot of stray cats around here. They're wild.
Well, she's a hunter. She's a gladiator.
She's like a little tiny dog, Hitler. She does.
Yeah.
And she convinces all the other dogs, even my parents who are my neighbors, the two blue heelers. She's got
heelers.
Yes. So she's got all of them too on the same program of just if they try to come inside the perimeter, so she just chases them off. But they're wild cats anyway.
No. I get that. I'm not saying all the animals will live in harmony forever or else, animals would starve. Yeah. But the job of a pit bull is to be a gladiator.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the job of a human to say, you know what?
You're not a gladiator.
You're a beautiful dog and you love children and cats. Yeah. And then the dog goes, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm cool. So,
pit bulls. Along with everything else.
Pit bulls and Parolees is my favorite show. Have you guys ever watched that show on Animal Planet? Oh, my gosh, the best show ever.
Yeah, I've seen that show, yeah.
Oh, we went there. We went there to New Orleans and visited their thing. We went from Ohio to New Orleans.
Well,
and visited the Pit Bulls and Parolees place because it was my number one favorite show in the whole world. Whew. That was fun. So, you know what's kind of funny?
What's that?
It's like I have all these silly random topics that I take notes on. Mm-hmm. And, movies and things that you guys talk about, but it has nothing to do with anything. And for me, it's 4 a.m. now. But what I thought was really interesting was the movie The Exorcist. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life. And when I first met Wayne, we were watching it at our friend's house at a party. They would watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah, no, it's if you heard me talk, if you listen to, actually, I've done two shows just on The Exorcist.
They made it funny. Whoop.
You're listening to whatever. No
matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
There's a weird, I have a weird thing about this movie because when I watch it at my friend's house, say where there's maybe 10 people in the house and everyone's just, partying and smoking weed and drinking or whatever. And it's on in the background. It's funny. And there's a part where, I don't know,
that's funny.
Where she goes too many movies. And it sounds like too many movies. And it's just some satanic voice. And it just sounds stupid. And then everyone kept saying too many movies, and everyone was just making it funny, and it was like funny.
That's the best way to deal with horror, is make it funny.
It's the scariest damn movie I think that's ever been created in the history of time.
Well, it was deliberately done that way, and it was shot that way, and it had lots of the sound. So the guy that created it and the director as well, they were in the CIA, they were in the military psychological operations group. So they knew that they were using the sound, the barely audible sounds of bees attacking and rabbits.
This is what I'm saying.
Rabbits being strangled. Rabbits being slaughtered. Yeah,
the bees and the pigs, the pig squeals.
Yeah, and rabbits being strangled. They actually had rabbits being strangled as part of the
It's an interesting guy, William Peter Blatty.
That's him. That's right. And his son is where are the witches? Salem. They actually lived in Salem.
Oh, really?
And his son's still alive. He's dead.
So the funny thing, so when I listen to you talk about movies and you and Rolo just bounce off each other, you forget shit too. He forgets stuff. You guys are just like boom, boom, boom. And it's just fun. It's really funny.
Well, it's always good if he's more sober. Mm. Because he's got a really good shot.
First hour's free with Rolo. He's like, bam, bam, bam. Let's go through the blog. Let's read the stuff. Let's talk about this. And then it's like,
but it's incredible. He can do the same thing sometimes after two bottles of vodka.
The same thing. I can do the same thing, too.
I've heard that.
Mm.
It's not just him. It's me, too.
Oh, good. Well, Susie, you can down the vodka as well.
No, I get it. No, but I'm a typo Rolo. I can do it too.
Sometimes it sparks your some people can do it. Me myself, I can be more groggy in the morning and have less cognitive reflexes to be able to think what I'm talking about, but. I think brain fog's a big thing, and I was eating at night time. I was eating white bread. I have brain fog for the last 7 or 8 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. I'm not sure, but it's definitely a thing. And you get brain fog, and it just – you go to think of something, and you can't remember. But it's good with Rolo.
Jack Nicholson's name. I'm like, Jack Nicholson?
Brain fog. Yeah, that's real brain fog. Yeah.
That was my first time. I was like, whoa, I think there's something wrong with me. But here's the thing about The Exorcist. Like, if it is a CIA mind operation thing,
it reminds me also.
My mom was telling me about when they walked out of Easy Rider, and at the end when they got blown up and they got
I love that
wiped
scene.
Out.
Yeah, when the guy comes up and goes, "Go get your hair cut, and he shoots him with a double barrel shotgun.
But it was like a traumatic event that came out of the movie. But in the Exorcist, people couldn't even stand like the first, half hour of the movie or whatever.
Do you want me to tell you something extraordinarily interesting about The Exorcist, which I've only just recently found out? Do you know what it was? Even Blatty.
Do I have to write it down? Damn it, I got to. Okay. I have a pen. You can tell me something extraordinary.
Blatty kind of admitted it. It was based on recollections from what's the actress's name? Oh my god, she she's redheaded. You know, she ended up doing all these self-help books and kind of. She was Warren Beatty's sister, Warren Beatty's younger sister, Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine was Warren Beatty's sister.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yep.
Shit, I like Shirley MacLaine. And then yep. Ab's gonna come on and go, "She's a man."
No,
I'm just joking.
Well, there you go.
I'm just joking.
That, you're not on Fakeology yet.
No,
I don't think
you would
say that. No, no. So Shirley MacLaine's daughter.
I love her. Yeah.
Her daughter was apparently terribly abused. And the whole story, if you ever look at the story of The Exorcist, it's a well-known actress, and that's Ellen Burstyn plays. She's playing Shirley MacLaine. And her daughter, who was horribly abused, is Reagan. In the, you know, there's allegory to the rumors about what happened to. So it was Shirley MacLaine's husband and was abusive, I think. And it was, yeah, so there's a. That's what Ellen Burstyn's basically playing Shirley MacLaine, an actress, you know, or again, Warren Beatty's sister.
Mm. What a tangled web.
Oh, this is tangled, all right, when I heard that, because already, I mean, I've been on about the Exorcist movie for many, many years. Since my older cousin, who was 15 or 16, went to see it. You know, actually, it was 15, I think. How old? So I would have been 10 in 74. She would have been, 15. And she had nightmares for, you know, she never got over it, I don't, for a long time, because she'd never been allowed to go and see that movie. The movie, but when it first came out, I remember in 74, 75, seeing, there used to be a magazine. How old are you? You're 10 years younger than me.
I was born in 75.
Okay. Well, and when you were born, it was about a year old at that stage, but there was a magazine called 16 Magazine, which was like a teen magazine for young girls to you know, all the pinups, Donny Osmond, Michael Jackson when he was younger.
Leif Garrett.
Yeah. Did you ever? Yeah. That's all the girls used to call me, because I had long curly hair, and I used to get girls calling me Leif Garrett. And I used to think, oh my God. And I said, that's not a compliment to me now. Did you see what happened to him? Oh my God. Mm. But you know, I was getting constantly called Leif Garrett with my curly hair. Mm. Yeah, and I say, Leif Garrett was about 78, 79. It was 74 was David Cassidy, Donny Osmond, David Essex, literally, like, but anyway, so 16 Magazine was a magazine for pop culture for teenagers, and they had on the front cover The Exorcist, and I was thinking, I remember looking at it going, that's really horrible, and they had images like, you should see this movie. They were encouraging teenagers to go and see The Exorcist. I remember as a 10-year-old, going, oh, that looks really scary. I mean, why would they be saying that? I remember thinking back then, this is, I spotted dodgy. This is, there's an agenda here. As a 10-year-old conspiracy theorist, junior, into UFOs, not into, and Bigfoot probably around that era. But I knew, why would they be pushing a movie, which, you know, the scene in that movie with her, with the crucifix. How did that even get released back in those days? You know, because it was still a very Christian country.
Yep. Yep. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's contemporary. That movie is kind of contemporary with, like, oh, at the same time they were running all those MK Ultra and MK Often, like all of those programs.
100% trauma-based. Well, this was trauma-based mass mind control for teenagers in 1974. And interesting, the date, 74, it's 11, you know, and there'll be a there with the date. There always is. And it came out of nowhere. This was a movie like no other. I mean, we had horror movies back in the day. I mean, but my mother was a great example of, you know, she was traumatized by Psycho. And most teenagers were in 1961, 62.
I know, that
Hitchcock Psycho, that traumatized me. Like, they were screaming in the audience, like, and walking out and not throwing up, but there was always reports of people throwing up. I don't know about that one, but there were people freaking out seeing, because back in the day, you did not see, or you didn't even.
I mean, they were afraid of the birds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the birds was scary to them.
Yeah, but when The Exorcist came out, oh, this is different level. Different level.
There was laws against it. There's the production code laws.
I have production code laws. I do not want that movie shown in my house.
But it's you're watching a 13-year-old girl playing a 9-year-old girl or 10-year-old girl, whatever Reagan meant to be, plunging a crucifix into herself and yelling out,
I don't want it shown in my house.
I
have seen it 10 times at my friend's house, and they turned it into a joke. They made it funny.
Well, that's
it was
not bad,
weird.
And that's good.
I couldn't understand how they made it funny. And I'm like, well, this isn't funny. And
she tells the astronaut, you're going to die up there. You know, there's just all these bizarre scenes in the thing. But, you know, they actually didn't release the official cut, the proper uncut footage till the 80s. Where you saw it turn into a spider and go backwards and come down the stairs.
I don't want that shit in my house.
No, you don't. Well, I don't want it in my house either. It's not a movie I'll watch. I'll talk about
it. I still think it's the greatest movie ever made.
Well, that's called a... It's a contradiction in terms. Yeah.
It's the scariest, most amazing thing.
Oh.
And I don't want to ever see it again.
You were born in 75, right? And as a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, I was 11 in 75. This kind of stuff was not, it didn't exist. It was made to exist by Hollywood, that the whole imagery that you saw with between the crucifix. I mean, they had an. But what it is is just straight out. Again, I have to keep repeating myself here. It's the Frankfurt School. That's the kind of thing that they would push. And you'll be able
the
to
mind
place
control bullshit.
Well, it's no Frankfurt
that was
School.
The,
was like, if you keep showing people enough shocking things.
Yeah, it's to degenerate the culture. Yeah,
to degenerate the culture, and to have that scene with the crucifix released and allow, and then 16 magazine to actually be promoting that for teenagers to go and watch. It was beyond me. Even as a 10-year-old, I was looking at this going, "This is wrong." And when the video got released, because obviously I couldn't see it when I was 10, we were in a house. And I sat there watching and I went, no, I don't need to watch anymore. I don't need that imagery in my head. I don't want that in my head. You can use subtle horror and like, say, Blair Witch, for instance. The Blair Witch, which was a fantastic movie.
we saw that in the movies and we were tripping.
That would have been exciting.
That was fun.
But what it used was your own imagination to imagine that witch and or whatever she was or mm-hmm. they were seeing.
The so unseen is the scarier thing. Yep,
that's
the
right.
Unseen.
Yeah, yeah. But the opposite was done with The Exorcist. Well, they actually put this horrific, nasty possession story. And all this book, it did come from another older book. Dave Jay and I discussed this movie. I think it's on two of the Bongversations. We actually go right into it, and he glosses over and just goes
to the
point.
Blair Witch?
No, Exorcist. Exorcist. We haven't done the Blair Witch.
Oh, you guys did an Exorcist one?
Oh, yeah. It's not titled The Exorcist, but it was episode 2 or 3 of Bong Versations.
There's
a takeaway there. There's a takeaway, you know, of the film, and it's, some of its intent was, you know, that it was the Catholic Church and there was this and that. But the actual imagery that was screened to teenagers in 1974 was at a level you shouldn't have. And this is absolutely MK Ultra over the top. And the fact that he was the Air Force psychological operations specialist, Blatty, and same with Friedkin, was something to do with that as well. William Friedkin. The director. Yeah. So they're both in the same kind of unit.
It kind of gets into that theme, those themes, like in his other movie, the more obscure one, The Ninth Configuration. I don't know.
That's fantastic.
I know you've seen it, Rick.
Yeah. Well, so, and Dave goes on about that. So that's a really important movie to
have
look at.
Have you seen that, Susie?
Yep.
Okay.
The Ninth Configuration, yeah. So as soon as you see, you notice this Plan 9 from Outer Space. Ninth configuration, ninth gate. You know, you get your nine all the time.
I remember that one, but I'm kind of zoning out, and I'm trying to pick apart, like, when you watch a movie, when you're like, yeah, let's watch a movie. But then when you look back on it, you're like, wait a minute. So feel like I have to rewatch something.
I'm not going to go to my way to rewatch. I love listening to what I recommend is you go on to say there's a couple of not bad shows that like Jay Dyer does some stuff and the guy that does the pop conspiracy theory and unpopular culture podcast. They analyze these movies and they sit there and they watch them and they break them down. So you don't need to rewatch them. But I recommend listening to the breakdowns and analysis of these films if you don't want to go and put it through your head because you don't need shit in your face.
What am I writing down?
Jay Dyer and.
Jay Dyer.
So he does some really good movie analysis shows. And another one of his friends is that guy, what's the name of the Illuminati? It used to be called the Illuminati, something or other show. It's he's actually calls himself the name of the guy that founded the Illuminati. That's his surname.
Isaac Weishaupt.
Okay, that's a pseudonym. I think his first name's Isaac.
You guys something like really esoteric?
Yes. We're on the right show.
I really want to go like right or left of center. So, do you know the memory of water and how when you play Beethoven, the water looks beautiful?
Yeah.
And if you.
That's plants respond to it as well. And plants are made of water, obviously. Yeah. That's true.
But
The Japanese guy, the professor that froze water or he says things into water and they freeze at different beautiful patterns.
I think it's very important, the energy and the
intent.
Just everything. Yeah. Mm. Rick and roll up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, we don't.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Told after show so far, but I know Velocet's going to come on tonight and do something, but we may as well record what we're doing because it'll feed into the network. Actually, I think I have to go because someone's knocking at my door. So... I think someone's.
Well, I can talk to Rezma Jeff. Yes.
Yeah, talk to him.
Let's do it. So I think it's very strange that I can listen to music and I feel a certain way. And then someone else can listen to music and they feel a certain way. And so the memory of the water that's around you, you could feel like, oh, I hate this band, or I hate this music, or I like this music, or I like this band. And it's about opinions.
Yeah.
So it's not really like you're not getting the full effect if you froze water, if I'm listening to a metal band, because my husband plays metal. I love his music. And someone else might be like, ugh, I hate that, you know? Or someone might listen to like some churchy music and I'd be like, ah. So I don't really think it's about the music. I think it's about the energy that you feel when you listen to it. So that it's kind of like a weird memory of water thing.
Yeah,
some people don't like country music. Some people do. And that's why I feel like that's what's really good about this place. Is it's not really about like, do you like this or do you like that? It's about the energy of, you know, having a good thing. And this is the weirdest thing that I'm going to say, is that when I first met my husband and he was watching The Exorcist and he made it funny, I thought, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Why is he making The Exorcist funny? Like, I thought, okay, if he can make The Exorcist funny, then he's probably not going to be able to ever be serious in life ever. He scared me because he made The Exorcist funny. And that's, I'm just bringing it back to The Exorcist. Not to, you know, bring it back to The Exorcist. But, yeah. I'm thinking if anyone can make this movie funny, I don't know what to think about that. It's the scariest movie I ever fucking saw in my life. It's not funny. And I was laughing watching The Exorcist. And that's it.
It was more like about like a subjective, like emotional experience. Like,
yeah.
In general. Movies, music. To a certain degree.
I just thought if he can make The Exorcist funny, does that mean he'll never be funny? Does that mean like he'll never take anything serious? Because Exorcist is the most scary thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And now I'm laughing and watching The Exorcist. And when I was a little kid, I think I was about like 4 or 5 years old, I turned on the TV. Like, you have to walk up to it and turn the thing on. And The Exorcist was right in my face. I ran down the basement where my mom was sewing. But I think it takes a really special person to make The Exorcist funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's true.
G'day, guys. Susie, Resmut, Jeff, Esoteric, how you going?
Hello.
How are you going? I love that.
Good. Susie, I was just listening in before to what you were saying. You know, the laughter, and you say how you make The Exorcist funny. It's like the nervous laughter, you know, when you're not sure of something and you have to turn it around. So it
doesn't. Oh, no, they made it funny. Like, that really? Shit was funny. Oh, shit, they made it funny. It was nothing nervous. There was no bad energy. It was super good party times. Really funny. Like, I thought, this is a weird world where The Exorcist is funny.
No, well, you could see it because it's just entertainment thing as well. Weird. You know what I mean? Like some people aren't scared. Some people aren't scared by movies like that.
It was weird.
They just see it purely as entertainment.
Yeah, I was in another house, another place, another people, another this, another that. But if you bring that shit in my house, no.
So you could say, it is like it's set and setting. It's the same thing with like doing psychedelics. Is set and setting is important. It can totally by establishing that context is going to determine what type of experience you're going to have when you interact with it. So
yeah, exactly. And I long time ago, we used to have a friend who used to drive a Trans Am, and he actually was watching The Exorcist, and he was taking like a few trips as well. And one time he was driving, he had one of those moments of where he was tripping out, and he was because he saw the chick on the bonnet of his car, like with their head spinning around, and he goes, "I literally almost crashed the car." He said, "I just stopped, got out of the car, and ran down the road screaming," and that was the funniest thing that we had ever heard. You know, and it was just like, moral of that was, don't watch anything while you're tripping, you know.
particularly that film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Comedies will be not funny. Like things that you have thought, watched in the past, or you could watch when you're not on psychedelics. You watch them and it's like, oh my God, I'm afraid to watch this now because like the jokes are broken.
Yeah.
I can describe it.
Yeah, it's everything's out of proportion. Yeah. So, Rick, your biblical rain, you were saying you drove through last night. Oh, what time was that, 11 o'clock or something?
No, I left at, let me think, 8:30, and I got past, always the same area. It's always, as soon as you get past Newcastle and you're driving along bush and you've got rainforest, you know, where the rain's come down, it comes straight back up again. It gets released as more cloud and it comes down again. But oh, it was really heavy. I still drive at 100 kilometers an hour, but I had to drive with like my eyes focused on the ground in front of me. It was really freaky, but I got home fine, so it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Biblical. It was heavy. It was heavy, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it must be the East Coast because we've had continuous rainfall. But I noticed, I don't know if you saw my picture, I caught the stormy sunrise, and what they had been doing is they had been connecting the clouds, obviously like trying to create more, and then they just created like storm cells, and then we had a bit of thunder and lightning, but now we've had continuous rain all day, and it's just been going on and on and on. So it's amazing. It was weird. Like super hot. That really sticky, yucky heat, the humidity, and then boom, just we got hit with the rain. And the temperature is still quite high, though, so the humidity levels are quite disgusting.
Yeah, well, it was actually was raining and kind of cloudy, but I got in my van and there's still that UV heat that comes through. My van was stinking hot when I got in there this afternoon.
Yeah.
So just because it's raining doesn't mean it's not hot. It's just incredible, but... Yeah, no, there's definitely incredible amount of water getting dumped on this east coast of Australia, which is just feeding into this. It's going to make more growth. There's more trees getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And so next year, will it be this year? I'd say it'd be this year. All I have to do is have 2 months of dry, high winds, arson, and boom, and lightning. We'll say a lightning strike, but... go with arson to make it bigger, and we're going to be the same as California, and it'll be burn back better, you know, 2025, burn back better, keep them off the land because the floods, the people insurance policies here, if you can get one if you're living in a flood area or a bushfire area, it's a miracle. But after this one, you're going to see. You're going to have to live in the city. You can't live in the bush anymore. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah, well, we were here during the floods when we first came up to Queensland, and that was a nightmare. That was all the one that went down to Lismore, Ballina,
Oh, yeah, my God.
It was a shocker. And, like, the insurance people are still trying to claim their get through insurance now. They're still partially built places. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's this is what weather warfare is about. It's not about anything other than just destroying regional areas that were once no problem whatsoever. Natural bushfire every now and then put out, but they've made it so that it's just so hyped up on the media as well. But, you know, Lismore was completely and utterly, and apparently Lismore's earmarked to be a smart city. That's what they're going for. So it's all targeted. To me, it's just organised and it's quite easily done. It's not special. It's not something out of science fiction. It's just quite poor land management. And when it burns, hyper, and if it floods, what they do is they release water from dams illegally, floods areas that shouldn't have flooded. That's what was done in Queensland 10 years ago.
Yeah, the Hines Dam, yeah.
So they just deliberately released, you know, it's just poor management of resources feeding into it's climate change and we're going to be, it's the weather that's doing it. It's man burning coal, blame them. They've got Elon Musk or Felon Musk.
Now, I saw your picture.
The main bad guy in England, saying the right thing, saying the truth about England, but you know that guy's just come out of the woodwork. So between him and Trump, I can't pick out which is the biggest more nefarious guy. But between them together, we've got a very interesting 2025 coming up.
Exactly, and I'll tell you what is interesting. We might have mentioned this before, is during the floods that happened a couple of years ago here in Queensland. Now, yep. Mick Fanning, the Australian surfer, Resmut Jeff, I don't know if you guys know Mick Fanning. He's quite a popular surfer, but well-known as well. He lives not far from us in Toogan, and he was helping out with the floods, and he actually contacted Elon Musk, and they got that Starlink here. In Queensland and in New South Wales. So now, yes, Starlink, we have the internet here with Starlink and all that. So I was like, I thought that was very interesting, the whole connection there, that they would reach out to him, to Elon Musk, to help for communications because they were lost in communications.
Yeah, it feeds into the media. And I'll tell you the most interesting thing is New Zealand 2 years ago had what you would call California-level bushfire, but it wasn't. It was floods. A storm cell launched from the south coast of New South Wales went over to New Zealand and destroyed the food bowl. Did you see it hyped up in the media? Did you see the stories that were coming out of New Zealand? No, there was none of it. It was just kept off, unless you had friends that were living there. Like I had friends on Facebook and friends that I know that were there. They were saying, you know, it was bad rains. But no, this was just bad rains. It took out most of New Zealand's food bowl in the North Island, was devastated by this incredible storm cell that went over there, and it caused mass flooding, and it wiped out farms, houses, whatever. The media over there was just reporting, oh, there's looters. There are looters everywhere. And I got sucked into it, and I was going, oh, they should go and shoot them and they should be doing this. But no, they weren't looters. These were people. And this is what's going to happen in the very near future. If you're at home with your family and one of you has got asthma, or one of you is, you need nappies for your baby, one of you has a medical condition. They just shut down all the cities. They shut down the power, so no one could serve or be. If you didn't have cash, you couldn't buy anything. So people were breaking into the chemists just to get essential items like Ventolin, heart, blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera. This was reported as looters, you know, and how disgusting looters are. Basically, looters are going to be us in the future just to try and save someone in your family that's because your chemist closed its doors because it's got no power because it can't rely on the FPOS system being down. So what would you, if you're, you know, you had a child that was asthmatic, go down, found out you could get, you know, get in there and kick the door down and get some Ventolin, you do it. You know, that's what mothers and parents would do. That's what was happening in New Zealand. It was just reported as looting, but it wasn't reported as why they were looting. They weren't doing it. And food. They needed food. There was no food, no drinking water. So
yeah, so the basic needs weren't met. So that's the reason why.
Exactly. So that's why.
I have a question.
Go.
Are there no eggs right now?
I come back from the shopping supermarket with lots of eggs. No problem with where I am, but there is a lot less.
They're limiting them. Yeah.
Limiting them.
They're limiting, Susie.
Yeah.
They're making them rare. Rare like hen's
teeth. Pardon the pun. Up where you are, apparently worse, but where I am, not so bad. But it could easily happen. And this isn't a country where everyone should have three chickens. Where I am, I've got a 1,000-square-meter block. I could have 15, 20 chickens here if I wanted to, but they're going to
I think I saw a picture of D-Train saying there were no eggs for months.
Mm.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
Some of the major supermarkets won't have them. So we just went into each of the supermarkets. We thought we'll just go in and go through each one and have a look. And he was just taking photos. And then we actually have a farmer's market. It's an indoor, like a massive barn where you can get actually eggs there. Yep. They're free range eggs. They have hens that go like they're free. They have like how many hectares per whatever it is for the hens, right?
They're not battery hens. Yeah.
He's like, what the hell is a hectare? I'm like, you never heard of a hectare?
Acreage.
So sorry.
Yeah.
I totally interrupted you. But I knew a word. He knows so many words. And I was like, you don't know what a hectare is? Okay, continue.
So you can buy eggs there, but they're expensive. But the quality of eggs is actually really good. And they have a limited amount, so you have to go there when they have them, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. So I think we ended up paying something like almost $20 or something for some eggs. Mm-hmm. Just really good quality eggs.
And they're not even for you guys. Were they for guests?
So, yeah, and like for Ranger, like our dog, we always feed him some good stuff as well.
Oh,
he gets the goods as well.
Ranger eats.
Rick, he turned 14.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations, Ranger.
Yeah, so he's
How is he? Still
yeah, he's still around? Kicking. He's fine. Fantastic. He loves it. I got him on we've got him on some natural supplements and stuff. So I'm just keeping
fish
him
oil, mm-hmm. fish oil,
keeping him
fish
good.
Oil, fish oil, yep. fish oil, fish yeah. oil, guaranteed. Yeah.
So but we got him the natural, you know, the green lip mussels, Rick.
Yeah, fantastic.
So Ian's been crushing the shells and just making it into really fine powder, and he gets that once a week in his meal as well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I am. You're listening to No Idea What We've Called.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
On Saturday evening, after the Be Told show, free for all, and then there's going to be something more. There's going to be lots more people here later on. So we're talking about eggs on the January
eggs.
The 11th.
Eggs
from New Zealand. Eggs.
But also, you know what I've noticed? There's so many we're talking about vegetables just then, Susie. The lemons. And I'm like, this is a bit ridiculous with the lemon
and
pricing.
Ginger's gone.
They're so expensive per kilo. Yeah. But and, if you go onto...
Avocados,
and this is,
Avocados are now $3.50 each.
Yep. I'll go to the marketplace where they bring them out from wherever they bring them from here in Queensland, and because they're all like odd, you know, this and that, much cheaper.
Much cheaper.
You can get them. And I was like, this is crazy. And I had, I should have taken a photo of it, but I had a lemon from the lemon tree, proper lemon. And then I had one, got one from the supermarket. And you should see the difference. Like, this is a lemon.
I know the difference.
It's polished up. It's all polished up and it looks beautiful because people like the presentation. And it's like, if you cut that open, I'm too scared to cut that open because it could be really yucky inside because you don't know how long they've been sitting in, to make it like that. And then I've got the one from the farmer's market. You have to go every couple of days because the fresh fruit and vegetables, you have to eat within a few days because otherwise it goes off, right? Because that's what it does. If it's no longer in the ground or no longer on the tree, how fresh it is. Yeah, that's how fresh it is. So you have to get the biozomes and all that kind of stuff from it, you have to eat as fresh as possible. So, but I tell you what, things are getting rare. They're making it rare and rare. Like, what about coffee? Yeah. They want to make it $12. $12 for a cup of coffee. Here in Queensland.
Oh, I don't doubt that. It happened in Sydney. In rich areas, they charge more. Like, it was $10 for a coffee in Double Bay, 10 years ago. It's $5 for a coffee or less in Balmain.
Yeah, so, and we went and bought some coffee because we both like the Italian coffee because we've got the stovetop percolator we use and all that, right?
Yeah.
They're raising the prices up to $48 per kilo. What for coffee? You must be joking. So they're making it rare, what do you call it? It's like a necessity item, but you know, they're gonna cull it. People rely on coffee and want coffee, make you pay for it.
Tonight I went into, I think it was the difference between Woolworths and Coles. Not much, really. But I went in to get, I was looking at the fish. There was some Australian snapper was $36 a kilo. Now, how fish have become more expensive to catch, even though a fish lives in the water and you don't have to pay for it to eat. It eats itself and you catch it. All of a sudden, it's doubled in price, you know. But you can get ling from New Zealand. You can get catfish from, which is what I call it, basically. It's like Vietnamese catfish for, you know, $15 a kilo, et cetera. Like, the fish is all from other countries, and I live in a fishing area. This area was known to have fishing vessels that went out and caught fish and supplied the local markets. But now Woolworths only sell, and Coles, predominantly South American fish, Chinese fish, any other fish than local fish.
And how do they keep it fresh? They're obviously putting stuff in it. That's not even fresh anymore. It's disgusting.
Well, it's frozen, et cetera. And I'll tell you the most banal one tonight. I was talking to my neighbour, just knocked on the door before. That's where I had to go. We all bumped into each other, me and my two neighbours at Woolworths tonight, having a big gossip fest. And I picked up the olive oil from the olive oil section, and I said my neighbour, and I said, this olive oil I'm about to buy is $8 for a half a litre of organic Spanish cold-pressed olive oil. The nearest equivalent in Australia was $25. So $8 for Spanish, but $25 for local product. How does that happen? And she said to me, oh, that's a bit weird. And I said, well, this, you know, are you seeing something weird happening? And she goes, yeah, I do. And I went, well, you know, people need to understand, how can olive oil squashed and pressed in Spain and brought over here by boat be cheaper by almost three times than a local product? So we're into the new, this is the new world. This is the WEF. This is what they always said they were going to do. It's called, you know, free trade. You know, trade agreements and stuff like that.
But we don't even know what the food is, the quality of food's like, you know what I mean?
It's pretty bad.
It's the Spanish version of organic might not be the same as Australian's version of organic. I know that for a fact. But if I mean, there's no doubt whatsoever that our shopping now is so expensive. I got two bags of groceries, including, you know, one steak and some mint, organic grass-fed mint and some washing powder and stuff like that. It was $130, two bags of groceries I carried out with my arms to the car, $135. So food has doubled in price.
Yeah.
Washing powder has gone up to $25. I got, the one I bought was half price, $12.50. It used to be $6 for the same thing.
Yeah.
So I know. We are absolutely living in, you know, if you want to eat, drink, and be clean, you're going to pay for it. Yeah, and you will pay for it.
Yeah, and it's so true. Like you just have to have a look these days. I don't know how people are not picking it up. And it's like you have to look for other ways. Like Saturday mornings, we've got another farmers market in Burley you can go to.
Yeah,
there's heaps of those popping up where they're using the school grounds or community grounds where they have stalls from all the
local guys.
Yeah, for now. You know what they did? They stopped one here in Broadbeach because the council decided to put up the permits.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Now the stalls that were here for 40-odd years, gone.
Gone. Yeah, same here.
So we've been driving around trying to source some things, but we've got Ola Capri, which is at the back of Surfers Paradise. Thank goodness there's that one there. That's a permanent one. Home of the Arts across the Narang River. They've got one, but they're super expensive because they're more of the artisan sort of styles. So it's just people are hunting and shopping around. And if you don't have your own, like, fruit trees or vegetables,
if you're at a home and you're an old person and you're relying on someone that relies on getting their food delivered, because that's what, you know, the COVID thing was part of, where they, you know, they shut down. You know, they didn't want you to go out anywhere. So you've only got Coles, Woolworths, IGA, and Aldi, basically, to get your food from. They can make those farmers markets all they do is they go and infiltrate the committee, so it's a school, and say, well, these people haven't got frozen. We need to see safety regulations put on so that if they're selling something that's frozen, we might get sued if we're selling inferior products.
Fresh.
So so it's not fresh. So all these people all of a sudden have to have all these food, and this is coming out again, United Nations guaranteed 100% that there'll be a United Nations regulation for selling fresh food. You won't be able to afford to pay for that. Coles and Woolworths, no worries. But yeah, we're being destroyed in a country. There's no excuse for Australians not to be able to provide the whole world with food because we've got so much green, you know, in the areas that are actually habitable apart from the desert.
Yeah.
It's all happening. It really is happening. New World Order 2030 agenda. It's on fire right now.
That's right. And my niece, it's in New South Wales, Rick. It would be about a four-hour drive for you to get there. The Tropical Harvest, that farm there. My niece went there and she goes, she just got like cherries. She just went the whole hack because you can get so much for free. Like you can basically load the boot of your car and you obviously pay for certain things. And we're going to make a drive there as well. At some stage to go there because I was just like, well, how much? And she's like, I brought all this stuff for all of us because you can only eat, you know, so much. And then she's been baking heaps as well. She's been making some really good. I'm like, she's turned to a good little baker. She's been making pies and breads and all that kind of stuff. So she's put herself into like a bit of a survival mode where she's learning how to make all these things because if stuff goes down, like, what are you going to do? You know,
is the thing. You've got to get into networking with other people and buy in bulk. And if you're a meat eater, you can do that. You know, if you're into vegetables, go to the farmers markets or go to the wholesalers and buy in bulk and then take it home and distribute it. And we're talking about on Rick and Rollo, I think last week, about that crazy what's her name that's, you know, says everyone's a pedophile in Australia, you know, Fiona Barnett. She's talking about one of the people she alleged, you know, was the guy from Mad Max. It was my next door neighbour for a couple of years in Sydney, a great big tall guy from the helicopter pilot of Mad Max 2.
Stork,
yeah. A really nice guy. And he was, him and his wife, were part of this thing in Balmain back in the early 2000s. So you got five families together. So you take it in turns. One of you will go out to the markets where the fruit shops buy all their fruit and buy it wholesale. You'd bring it back, you bag it up and separate. So everyone pays $30 a week, say, into a wholesale kind of group.
A
co-op. Yeah, you start your own co-ops. And this is what, so he was, so Bruce Spence and his wife, I forget her name, they were doing that every, and they had a group of, you know, it was 10 other people. So basically you could eat all your fruit and vegetables you needed for $30 and your meat for another, say, $30. That'd be a family of five could, for $60 worth of food. If you went to Woolworths to try and do what they did, you'd be paying $200. This is back then. Now it's like, I cannot believe what they've done to food and groceries over here. It's literally doubled and trebled in prices.
I went, V and I went to the shops the other day, and I had one of the shallow trolleys, not the full size trolley.
The smaller trolley.
Yeah, well, it's only the two of us. Cost me $250, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So now tonight, two bags of groceries, $135. And I was, and this is two bags that I can carry in my hand without, you know, not even noticing them. And it's like, I mean, this, I know for a fact that, that back, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, even at COVID, it would have been $50, $60. It's doubled in price. $25 for a thing of...
Mate, everything's going up. You were talking about the olive oil before. That's like unbelievable. Like you spend $60, $70 on a bottle of olive oil. And Australia has like Australia's got so many olive groves around, and it's like just like there's so much produce here. It's unbelievable. You were talking about coffee earlier, and marry that up with the conversation that you were having. I think it was with Resmat Jeff, like right at the start of tonight. You were talking about blights and the bio weapons that they could potentially use in warfare, about a blight bomb, and it kills crops. Well, because there's no coffee in Australia. There's no coffee grown in Australia, and there used to be coffee all the way up the east coast of Australia. Guess what happened to it?
A blight.
Yeah, and ever since then, it's almost as if the global powers that be, the network that controls things, have said, no, South America's the only place that can grow coffee.
Yeah, that's all you're going to get for, or Brazil.
Yeah.
Or whoever's part of the WEF. If you've signed up for the WEF, no problem whatsoever. But God help you, because, you know, Bombay Bay was full of coffee. It was coffee being grown.
Yeah, well, they still got a little bit there, but they're like the just local people that are growing it, and they roast it themselves, and it's like a boutique. It's not really sold. You can't really buy it here. You have to go down there and buy it from the local shops and stuff.
Right.
It's not really on the market proper. But it's really weird how they control food production.
Yeah, extremely.
Even last week, you were talking with Frank about bananas. Bananas, same thing.
Yeah.
New Zealand doesn't grow bananas. They import them from Ecuador.
And apparently the Philippines now. But why can't
Australia? Australia grows bananas. Australia grows bananas all the way from just south of Coffs Harbour all the way up to tropical North Queensland, right?
Yep.
You know how much, Australia is like not even on the list of banana exporters worldwide.
Oh,
after your show, They don't sell it overseas. They don't sell it overseas.
And it's the best bananas. It's really bizarre. The best bananas have been over here.
There's lots of different kinds as well.
Yeah.
You can buy the ladyfinger ones. You get the ones that are dipped with the red. V likes the red dip ones. Yeah, the special ones. The ones with the wax on the bottom.
The one with the wax, the one that looks a bit rude, but that's done so it stops them rotting. It stops them rotting.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
But, super. Like heaps of different ones, and you get the green bananas as well, and, the little – you were talking that you couldn't find – you can still get the little pink ones up here. You get – they're like the little short, like chubby pink bananas. They're actually quite nice, but they'll be there for a couple of weeks and then you won't see them again for 6 months.
Yeah.
There's obviously limited crops of that sort of thing.
Well, they've managed to destroy. So I remember talking to a guy who had an apple orchard, and I said to him, "How come you're in Sydney?" Because he had an apple orchard up at Bilpin or one of those areas. He said, "I'm getting paid to spray my apples with some kind of hormone that stops them producing." The government were paying him to stop producing apples, and I was like, I couldn't understand it. And then, years later, I've filled my head with the World Economic Forum and United Nations agendas for different areas. They did that to it. So we were ripping out 100-year-old peach trees in the Goulburn Valley. Goulburn Valley peaches were the most beautiful peaches you've ever tasted. And they because of this free trade agreements with what another country, blah, 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 they were destroying and digging out. They were getting paid to dig out their peach trees. Only guy who spoke about this was Alan Jones, and look what happened to him recently. Look what happened to him.
Mate, that was happening down in Victoria, because down in Victoria they have the SPC fruit and all that. Yeah, make all the tin fruit. Farmers, all the citrus growers that go all the way up the Murray Basin all the way up to Mildura and stuff on the South Australian border. They had bulldozers and they were just bulldozing all their citrus farms. The government had made the irrigation too expensive. They weren't making any money on it. They were cheap before them.
The Australian government allowed a rice farmer up in the middle of, country because it's all water heavy. So they were having rice growing that was getting funding. They were pulling out 100-year-old peach trees, 100-year-old apple trees. This is what we need to be concentrating on, this conversation, because what we're getting sidetracked with is aliens. Fake this. Laser beams from space, et cetera, et cetera. And everyone's flat earth, round earth, flat earth. And instead, what you're actually watching is old farms getting destroyed by the government, orchards getting ripped out of the ground, all their beautiful old trees ripped out of the ground. And then they'll bring
Well, there's also another factor too, which it's partially because of what the government's doing, the squeeze, right? But that's also part of because the profit margins. See, a lot of people think, the farmers are rich, they own heaps of land, but they're mortgaged.
You're listening to whatever. Truth Meets.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Com, 11th of January 2025. Crucial conversation here. Crucial conversation. We're talking about the decimation of the food bowl of Australia, New Zealand, and any other country. They're doing it everywhere. This is not, we're not isolated with this conspiracy.
We've noticed buying up all the farmland over here. I mean, huge chunks.
Yeah.
Well, we've noticed it a lot here because 20 years ago, you could do an entire grocery, fresh fruit and vegetables for $20. Yep. And now you're spending $200.
Exactly. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're putting the screws in with the squeeze on the farmers because their profit margins are so low, right? That people think, they live on, you know, 10,000 acres, but it's mortgaged up their ass. Yeah, like, seriously. Exactly. And every single thing that they do, it's all this balance, like financial balancing act with the, you know, the equipment. They've got to have state-of-the-art equipment and everything to get everything done all at the right time. And yep. The farmers are choosing to spray these particular chemicals on plants which encourage them to develop at a particular time because they have to find – you don't want – if you've got an apple farm, right, and you've got all your eggs, all your metaphorical eggs in one basket, so to speak, and you've got this massive big orchard, right, and you've got one you can only sell one crop a year, right, are you going to put it on the market the same time as all the other farmers that sell apples?
No.
Of course you're not. No. Because you're not going to make any money out of it. You're going to try and stagger it a little bit so that there's that supply and demand thing, yeah?
Yep.
So you've got to ride that, and you've got to maybe push your crop back a month or so so that you've got the apples when there's no other apples around. You know, that's how they make money. And they're deliberately using these chemicals and all that sort of stuff and modified plants and, you know, different grafting and hybrid yep. techniques on their crops to make that profitable. That's the yep. only way they're making money these days as well. Plus, because it's not the farmers that sell. The farmer doesn't sell there's like 10 middlemen in between the farm and us, the consumer. It's very
difficult to buy.
No, that's right.
So when I went to school, when I grew up in New Zealand in the 70s, you know, it's where I was compos mentis, and you stood things. We had where I grew up in the town I grew up in New Zealand, a big business called Turners and Growers, and Turners meant the people that turn it over, that mean the fruit shop owners and the growers, met in a huge, big, giant market, and they bought the growers, brought their potatoes and their the corn and all the different vegetables, everything to this one great big spot. And all of a sudden, I went back. I disappeared. I came over here, 85, permanently. And I went back in 90, and I noticed that Turners and Growers, the great big place where all the farmers and everyone would swap their crops over to the fruit shop owners, had gone. And it became replaced with what we call a warehouse, which is the equivalent of, what's that American version? The giant grocery store that sells everything.
Costco.
Not a Costco. It was like, yeah, but Costco. We'll say it's Costco. And it had gone. And the little fruit shop, the two doors up from where I grew up with the local fruit shop owners, and they had a little shop in the little town where I grew up. And I went in there and I was looking, how come you've got Californian oranges in here? Because where I grew up was orange. We had the orange festival every August. We were twinned with a Californian orange growing town. Oranges were our main thing. Then kiwi fruit came in. So all of a sudden, foreign fruit was coming in. All the local fruit was going out, and they were selling the properties off bulldozing all the orchards and putting houses on them. And so I noticed this whole conspiracy in a small way back in the early 90s. Now it's global. It's like everything that we were warned about, or I was from, you know, my mentor that was saying we're going to globalization, it all happened. So no one can tell me that what isn't happening isn't part of a plan. Well, now we're going to literally see food shortages in the next 2 years.
Well, Rick, where I grew up in Melbourne, and you I mean, you lived in Sydney in the 80s. You probably saw it too. I know Verushka did. Every single street in Melbourne was lined with you'd go all the street trees.
Fruit trees.
They were all plums, plums or apricots or nectarines
lemon trees,
pears and lemon trees and everything all up and down. Every single street in Melbourne was lined with fruit. And then in the 90s, they changed them all out and switched them with these they call them ornamentals. You get the crepe myrtles and stuff. They're supposed to be native, and they're supposed to.
So we need to look back and find out what council decision made that happen. What council decision or what government actually came in? And I'd say, New Zealand's national.
It's around about the same time that UNESCO took over the governance of the Great Barrier Reef here in Australia as well.
Same thing.
That's run by the United Nations. That's not Australian control.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, guaranteed. And so seafood. And I remember when I first moved here, where I am now, which you've been here, the area is a fishing area, and I remember going into the local Coles when it took over from Bylo, and I was looking in the big frozen area, the chilled area for the seafood. I went, Vietnamese catfish, African, all the fish was from Africa, Vietnam, China, or New Zealand, and in the two small areas there might be some local. This has just got worse, and so basically now if you're lucky, you can find one local snapper, one local barramundi, but it'll be farmed. And so a small area where I'm living right now, its main produce was fish and vegetables as well. But all of a sudden that was all coming from international. So we're going into this. There's no denying anything. We're going into the Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum Fourth Industrial Revolution has happened right now. And most of us on these conspiracy sites, we spend too much time arguing about flat earth, round earth.
You're right about the fishing too. I think that's the next one to go, because up here we can still go to at the wharf on the seaway at the spit
and get
where SeaWorld and everything is. They get the trawlers come in, and you can buy. There's a trawler co-op where you can buy directly from the trawlers.
For now.
Well, that's still going, but I think it was a conversation that you were having just on the text chat. I can't remember what server, but you and Linda Curtis, Linda posted a picture of some little crab or something, a little that was a new discovery. But they made this new discovery. It's an undiscovered species before. Yeah, but they fucking killed it. Because they're introducing now in Australia these Chinese Brazilian. Them are Chinese, but there's a big one down in Tasmania. It's on the news at the moment where the local people are just fighting it. It's a big Danish. It's like an ocean liner, but it's one of those massive big factory trawlers. And those big factory trawlers that stay at sea for months and just dredge the bottom of the ocean, and their nets are like 20 kilometers long, and they just trash everything. And when they bring it up, it just goes straight in the conveyor belts, and it's like robots and everything in the back just sorting out all the different fish. And they just freeze it and pack it, and they're the ones that you see in the frozen food section at the supermarket where, you get all these different fish, and it's all just a whole process. Everything. The packaging takes place in this ship. Like it's just a massive operation. As soon as they introduce one of those things here, those trawlers are gone. There'll be no guys going out prawning at night time or anything anymore. You see the boys out with the lights on, just offshore, just trawling, getting the prawns and stuff. There's heaps of fish around here. But if you put one of those big factory ships in, it's all just gone.
Yep. It's going to happen, though. We've just got to look at it like Rosa Corey, who I still recommend it, people, you know, go back her stuff, even though she got a lot of her stuff from someone else.
Yeah, her book was Behind the Green Mask. And it was very good because the concept that she was alerting people to was these people were pretending to be environmentalists and they were waving the greeny flag. We're for the environment, but they're the ones that are fucking it up for everybody. Like they're the ones laying all this groundwork for the destruction of all the produce, basically.
This whole conspiracy, which is what it is, and you know, I'm proud to call myself a conspiracy theorist because it literally is a conspiracy of other, you know, more than two people coming up with an idea. It's Fabians, the green agenda that from Rosa.
You were talking about Peter Garrett before, and he was one of those green mask guys.
Oh, big time
for the environment, and he was throwing everyone over. He got caught on a hot mic one time, going "Fuck the people, just get their vote, and we'll do whatever we want afterwards."
Yeah, and he said, "I was just joking."
I was only joking.
He got busted. Yeah, he did, and yet people still hold him up as, you know, great left wing, people's. No, he's not. Anyway, look, I've got to go, guys, but I do believe Velocit's coming on. It's not nearly 9 o'clock. I do believe Velocit's going to come on and do some stuff later. So good to talk to you. Great.
Sandboard Saturday, mate. Train.
Resmut, Jeff, you're all out there. Yep. Verilicious.
Good to talk to you, Rick.
Hey, dude. I'll speak soon, man.
Good on you, Jeff.
Good conversation. And Susie.
Good talk to you, Rick.
Susie's so funny because she's sending me all these things I was talking about 4 years ago. I go, well, did I say that? But yes, I did.
Oh, and she's going back to listen to all the. She's going to listen to all the farts and everything, mate.
No, she's done.
Yeah. She's a super fan.
She is very funny, very funny, and she is the a chipmunk whisperer. She used to be renowned now as a chipmunk whisperer. She's looked after a chipmunk till it died this afternoon.
Yeah, we heard. I put a little chipmunk
warm, so it's all good.
All right, guys. Chat again.
All right. See you, mate.
See you, Rick.
Well, are you there, Susie, Resmut, Jeff? I might head off myself and come back on after when the next show starts. So I'm going to head. Okay. See you later.
All right. That sounds good. I'm probably going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good night, all.
See you, Susie.
Good night.